So Bezer Hashem will start Masechta Makis tonight. By way of introduction, we're going to open up to Parshas Shoftim in Sefer Dvarim. And the Torah here is describing Edus, two witnesses that come to testify. And in this case, V'darshu HaShoftim Heitev, somehow as a result of the investigation of the judges, we have to figure out exactly how they made this determination. V'hine et sheker ha'ed. The testimony that was given was perjury, was false testimony. So the Torah says in Dvarim Yutes, Pasuk Yutes, I wrote it here on the board for you. V'asisem lo kasher zomam lasos li'ochiv. And you will do to him, meaning this false witness, exactly kasher zomam, as he intended lasos li'ochiv, to do to his fellow Jew. So the Torah doesn't answer the following questions. Number one, how did we determine that this witness falsified his testimony? Torah completely leaves that out. Question number two, the Torah says, V'hine et sheker ha'ed. The word aid is in plural or in singular? That's not a rhetorical question.
Singular.
In singular. But we're talking about two witnesses. Is it possible that one of them falsified his testimony and the other was telling the truth? Or is the Torah just telling you something about the fact that they, the two Edom, form an entity, a unit? Does anybody know what that unit is called in Halacha?
Edom.
Well, Edus is the general term that's sort of all-encompassing. But if you want to focus and pinpoint the exact concept, and it's going to come up over and over again, that's what I want to share with you up front, of a unit of two witnesses or more that came together to testify, that's called a kat. Okay, let's write that on the board. So we'll have it, a kat. A kat of Edus. A kat means a unit of at least two, or possibly more than two witnesses, and they are called by the word aid, which is singular, because they form an entity. They're indivisible. Possibly, I don't know. But we'll have to come back to this question. And the next question is, what does the Torah mean, be achiv? What does be achiv mean? It could have said sheker heid be re'ehu, like for example in this week's parasha that we read.
The that you wrote?
Yeah, le'achiv, right, the last word in the pasuk. Okay, so le'achiv is going to be a key word here in this parasha, because very often, like in this week's, like the parasha we read yesterday, it'll say ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha. So sometimes the word rea is used, or other times it'll say amito, like it says on the one in Lo Tamid Al Dam Reacha, but it also says tzedek tzedek tishpot es amito, amito miloshan im, somebody who's with you. Here it says echov. What's echov? And then the next question is, what's vasisim lo kasher zomam? Can we really do to him exactly as he tried to do to someone else? Now, we have to get our terms clear here. We have the Shoftim, right? Those are the judges. We have the Edim. Those are the witnesses. We have, I'm going to call it X, meaning undefined, which is the vehicle by which we determine that these Edom perjured themselves. And when I say X, what could that X be? Well, let's say the Edom said that Reuven killed Shimon, and lo and behold, Shimon is alive and well. I mean, that would be a pretty good proof. But barring that possibility, maybe there are two witnesses that testify against the first two witnesses. But that's a problem, because if the two witnesses testify against the other two witnesses, then what issue should arise immediately?
Who do you believe? Do you believe the second pair of witnesses that accuse the first pair of perjuring themselves? Or should you believe the first pair of witnesses? Who do you believe? Do we measure their beards and their payas and figure out who has a longer beard? I mean, how do you go about determining who's telling the truth and who's not? Okay? And finally, we have the Shoftim and the Edim and the other pair of Edim. And then, perhaps the most important person to talk about in this whole picture is the accused. Okay, now the word we're going to use over and over again is the Nidon. Nun Yud Dalid Vav Nun Sofit. The Nidon is the person who's on trial. Now, why is this person on trial? Because two witnesses came to testify against him. They may have accused him of eating non-kosher meat, and therefore he incurred a chiyuv of malchus. They may be accusing him of killing someone or violating the Sabbath, in which he incurs a chiyuv of mis, a capital crime. He's called the Nidon. And the reason why the Nidon plays such an important role here in all of our discussions is because the Torah says, Kasher Zama. We should do to him, meaning the false witnesses, kasher zamam, as they intended. It's interesting, you started with lo, with a singular, and zamam is plural. Again, these are all, or kasher zamam, yeah, you're right, is singular. Okay, but as we said before, we're talking about two edim, so we have to make them into a unit. And then you have, lastly, achiv. Who's achiv? In our terminology, the Nidon, correct? So the Achiv is the Nidon. Why he's called by the name Achiv, we have to figure out.
No, sorry.
Right, so I'm just asking, why is he called Achiv, as we said before?
His father was the one that was...
Nidon?
No.
No.
It's not the Ach of the Nidon.
No, it's a brother in Israel. But Nidon
right.
is the one that is accused, and Achiv
right.
is... Somebody else that the accused made something bad to the.
So I'm not sure I follow you, but anyway, the way we're translating it now, okay, we'll see how we. Is that we should do to the aid the way that he wanted to do to the Nidon.
Oh, sorry.
You follow? You notice it's reflexive. It's like, you know, you tried to do this to so and so, therefore it's going to bounce back to you, it's going to reflect back on you, and you're going to suffer that punishment.
It is the Nidon.
Yes.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I think the law is the Nidon.
That's what I'm saying. The Kasher Zomam here is a very fascinating concept, because in reality nothing took place over here. Meaning we judged the Nidon, but we never implemented that judgment. And that's why the Torah used the word Zomam. What does Zoma mean?
Maybe at this stage you haven't judged the Nidon at all, because the question is that the witnesses are false, right, then anything they had to say carries no weight as far as the accused is concerned. It may carry a lot of weight as to what happens to them themselves.
Right. But what does the word Zoma mean?
Plotted
or planned or schemed. Right? So they schemed against the Nidon. We caught them on time. Nothing actually happened to the Nidon. And then, therefore, it's Kasher Zomam.
Yeah. Is Zomam something that in its essence requires more than one person?
Well, we don't know that yet.
Okay.
We're going to have to figure that out as we go along. Okay. I mean, the bottom line is going to be that we're talking about two people. But we'll have to see. Tosis is going to have a long discussion. What happens if one witness is believed? There are various cases, they're rare, but there are a variety of cases in which one witness is acceptable. In that case, can we apply the principle of Kasher Zomam against one witness? We're going way, way beyond ourselves. Just what I wanted to stick to now is the main question, and that is, by what mechanism do we establish that these Edim falsified their testimony? And that's going to be the first question that I have on this page I gave out to you. Ma bein hakhosha Lazama. Okay? And here, we have to distinguish between two concepts. Okay? This is a very important introduction. One is called Hakhasha, and the other is called Hazama. What's common to both of these, and they're very similar, is that they both refer to a process by which the first testimony comes under fire, under contradiction, under question. But how did the first testimony come under fire? Did it come under fire through Hakhasha, that's process number one, or alternatively through a different process called Hazam?
Totally different.
Okay, so let's go slowly. What would Hakhasha be?
Hakhasha would be that you're testifying, let's say, Reuven killed Shimon with a gun. Right. And he had to come along and say, Reuven killed Shimon with a knife.
Yeah. Oof, like that's already... very sophisticated.
Akasha is a denial. It means somebody says,
but
I didn't.
What would be, yeah.
Contradiction.
Well, no, but again, you know, we don't trust the Nidon to deny it. He's on the stand, you know, he's being judged.
He's no Gaya Bedover, so he
He's no Gaya Bedover. But who might deny that this happened?
Yeah.
Two witnesses. So we have, again, we're using the unit of two. Again, we have to go through that. But so we have Edim number one, you'll have to write this down yourselves. Here. So you have Edim number one who say it did take place, and you have Edim number two who say it did not take place.
It's
meaning,
all on Edim number one.
What do you say?
It's all on Edim number one. When Edim number two say Edim number one, how can you say this? You said this happened, and you were...
No, we're not ready for that, Ralph. That's Hazama. Let's focus on Hakhasha.
Hakhasha is going, Edim number two is saying Edim number one. You did not state
the truth.
Gave testimony, but that was not the truth.
Truth, because so you say that Reuven killed Shimon, and in fact Reuven did not kill Shimon.
That is an inherent contradiction.
Correct.
Within
correct.
Adam number one's testimony.
Right. So Adam number two say that it didn't happen. The whole story never took place. Right. Reuven never killed Shimon.
Or it happened differently.
Well, it certainly has no. Truth, your Edus has no truth because you're saying that Reuven killed Shimon. Reuven did not kill Shimon.
No, but that's one scenario. But it may be that in fact Shimon is dead. It may be in fact that Reuven did the deed, and therefore he's on trial. But if, to use Ralph's example, if the Edus say that Reuven shot him, but in fact Shimon was knifed, the testimony is false.
Right, so that
it doesn't make Shimon alive.
That, as I say, is a more advanced case. That's not the classical case of Hakhasha. The classical case of Hakhasha would be not where Reuven killed Shimon, but how did he kill him? What was the murder weapon?
He didn't kill him.
Right? Because that already comes under a different category. But rather, Hakhash in the sense that he didn't kill him.
Shimon walks into the court.
Well, again, that's a different case. Hakhasha means...
Shimon was with us, he could not kill him. He could not be there to kill him.
But that's a different... That's a different scenario. That's
No. That's a good possibility. That Shimon is alive and well at the time of the supposed crime. Mm-hmm. He couldn't have possibly been killed by Reuven. Mm-hmm. So that would be Hakhasha. Hazama, as we'll soon see in the Mishnah, could only apply in one specific case, namely Imanu Hayisem. Okay, those are the two key words here, Imanu Hayisem, which means that we really don't know if Reuven killed Shimon. Maybe Reuven did kill Shimon, but that you could have seen, that you could have witnessed Reuven kill Shimon, that's impossible. That we know is not true. So the difference between Hakhasha and Hazama is that Hakhasha is what we call gufo shel edus,
dealing with the substance.
Correct, the substance, the matter at hand, the so-called criminal act. Whereas Hazama doesn't deal with the Gufa Shaledus.
Gufa Shaledim.
But Gufa Shaledim, exactly. Gufa Shaledim.
Could you say the classic Ziska, like the Chetz and the Gavin? Is that?
Yes, but only, Ralph, if you grant, if I grant you that the Edus itself is called a Chetz. So if you want to call the Edus a Chetz, then you can use your terminology. I don't particularly, at least at this point, find it elucidating. I would rather differentiate between the Edus and the Edim. The Edus meaning the substance of what the first pair of witnesses testified in terms of the case, as opposed to, in the case of Hazama, the ability of the Edim to have witnessed what they claim they saw. Now, let me introduce another concept, which is number two on your page, and that's called treu tre. Okay? So we'll write that here on the bottom.
So what happens if the second Aiden says to the first Aiden, it's impossible for you to have said that because you guys are blind. You couldn't see Reuven kill Shimon because you're blind. That's not necessarily Hazama.
You mean you were blind at the time that you claim you saw it? Now, obviously, they do see, because otherwise there would be nothing to talk about.
That's true.
No, but if they...
But let's say they were temporarily blind or something like that, you know, at that point.
No, but if it's the first one, if they claimed...
Yeah, how would they claim?
Because they couldn't. Or one of them couldn't.
Right. So what we're going to see is that the way Hazama operates is that they couldn't have seen the crime according to the second pair of witnesses because Imono Yisam, you were with us at a totally different location at the exact same time. Now, how far are the two locations? Meaning, if let's say the original Edim say that they were on North Street, and the second pair of Edim say, no, you were with us on South Street, well, how far is it from North to South? Because every testimony has a certain, shall we say, range of time, meaning you cannot pinpoint time to its second. I mean, today maybe we can, but in Edus we don't require that. So if the first pair of Edim say that we saw the murder at 9 a.m., we may give them a certain leeway that takes us from, let's say, 8:30 to 9:30. You know, we'll give them a full hour or something of the sort, you know, because they used to tell time by the sun and so forth and so on. So there's a toast, there's a range of error of an hour. That's all. I'm going way beyond the hour. But just
they
to give
put it on the wrong day, or they put it.
Right, that would be. But now the second pair of Indians say, you were with us at 9 a.m. on South Street. You couldn't have possibly witnessed the crime on North Street. That's called Imono Yisam. But if the distance between the North Street and the South Street would take, by foot or by horse, you know, let's say a normal horse or camel, would take a half hour. So that would not be Hazama. But let's say it would take to get from the north to the south 3 hours, and that's right, that's way beyond the range of error, that would be Imono Yisam. Now Ralph is asking another question. Let's say they say physically you aren't capable of seeing, you were disabled at the time. That's an interesting question. Now, what's trey utrey? You remember I asked you on the second line of the page about trey utrey, correct?
It's a trey canal.
Oh. So that's what we're going to discuss now. The concept of trey utrey is based on a pasuk. You see, here I wrote Dvarim Yutes, am I correct, on the previous page?
Yes.
Well, now let's go back a little bit to Dvarim Yudzayim. Okay. And there the Torah says, Pasuk Vav in Dvarim Yudzayim.
Perek Yudzayim.
Perek Yudzayim, Pasuk Vav. And there it says, Al Pishnayim Edim O Shlosha Edim Yumas Hames. The Torah says you could put the accused to death based on the testimony of two or three witnesses. So the question is, if the Torah says two,
then it continues, not one.
And then, right. But if the Torah already tells me two, then what do I know about three? Can you put someone to death with three witnesses?
Obviously, if two is enough, then certainly three is okay. I mean, we have nothing against the odd numbers over here. So why did the Torah go on and say, O Shlosha Edim? So the Gemara says to teach us that two Edim and three Edim are absolutely equal. Now the number three is interpreted by Chazal to mean three, etc. Three ad infinitum. So there's no difference between two Edim or 100 Edim. And that leads us to the principle called Trei Kimea. Trei, two witnesses, are like 100. Do you see that on your page? So Treu Trei, which literally means two against two, which is the classical way of explaining, of expressing Hakhasha. Now if I add Trei Kimea, what would happen if 100 witnesses testify that Reuven killed Shimon, and two witnesses say that Reuven did not kill Shimon? I would apply the principle of Trei Kimea, and then it would be Treu Trei. So again, Treu Trei, which literally means two against two, is really just a password for saying that as long as I have the minimum unit of witnesses, which is two, then beyond that, it's irrelevant. So I don't even care how the evidence stacks up or weighs up against one or the other. You know, you and I would have said, wait a minute, 100 people are telling you X, two people are saying not X, they're denying it. Wouldn't you be tempted intuitively to believe 100 over 2? And comes the halacha and says, no, we don't work that way. We just work with a unit of Edom. How many members are there in that unit? A minimum of two. Sky's the limit, but it's irrelevant how many you have.
Well, doesn't depend on what the second pair of witnesses is saying. If the second pair of witnesses, let's say two people come to the court and say, we witnessed Reuven killing Shimon on such and such a day, in such a place, right, such and such a time. And two other witnesses come and say, well, we don't know about Levi, but we know that Yehuda couldn't be part of that group of two witnesses because Yehuda was with us. And we
elsewhere.
were somewhere else.
Well, so that's already Hazom.
Yeah, yeah.
So, oh. But, we're not up to Hazom. We're still focusing on Akash.
Oh, but I was going to say, then another two witnesses come and say, well, I don't know about
Lawrence, do me a favor. You're asking questions that are like light years away from us. Mm-hmm. This is just a basic introduction. All I'm trying to suggest is that in Hakasha, which means one, we'll call him Edim Kat Aleph, say Reuven killed Shimon, and then we have Edim Kat Beis, right, who say Reuven did not kill Shimon, it matters not how many witnesses are included in the first Kat, nor how many witnesses are there in the second Kat, as long as again you've crossed the threshold of two. Even if the first Kat had 100 members to it, 1,000 members to it, and the second Kat had two measly guys, you know, average rank and file citizens, you know, good honest to goodness guys, then we would have Akasha, which is called Trei Trei. And basically, what do you do in a case of a criminal accusation against the Nidon and you have Trei Trei? You throw it out of court. Do you know what I mean by throwing it out of court?
It makes sense. I mean, the 100 could be in conspiracy and collusion.
All right, I, you know, Ralph, at this point, I have to tell you, you're treading on dangerous ground. Because once you start second-guessing what this is all about, I don't know. You know, again, I'm not saying that you're wrong, Ralph. Who am I to say you're wrong? But I'm just worried about speculating at this point.
All right?
Now, granted that we have a concept of Treu Trei, of Akasha, and the bottom line is we don't know who to believe. We don't even know who to believe if the first Kat is so much
larger, you know, has many more members than the second half, we still have trei utrei. Granted that, this leads me to my third question. Namely, madua, why did the Torah believe the second cat above the first cat in the case of what? No. In Akosh, we don't know who to believe, so we throw it out of court. But in the case of Hazama, true, the second pair of Edom say you couldn't have seen the crime because you were with us on South Street at the time, the so-called time that you saw the, and you couldn't have been at North Street because even if you took the fastest train from north to south, you wouldn't have gotten there within the hour, let's say.
But you have a third pair of witnesses that say that the second pair of witnesses are false.
No, we are talking about
and
Lawrence, I appreciate your genius, but you have to bear with me. Mm-hmm. At this point, I'm in kindergarten. You're already in second grade. You skip first grade. I'm in kindergarten. My question to you today is, okay, the second pair of Edom claim that the first pair of Edom were on South Street. They were not at North Street. But what did the first pair of Edom claim? We were at North Street and not at South Street. So at the end of the day, what do you have? You have Treyutrei, you have Akosha. And yet, the Torah says, let's believe which pair of witnesses?
The second
pair of witnesses. Now, if you're telling me, let's believe the second pair of witnesses, and therefore we'll let the Nidon off the hook, then I understand very well. I have no qualms, I have no questions. Do you follow what I mean? Because I don't know whether to believe the first pair of Edom, that they were there at North Street and they witnessed the crime. I don't know whether to believe the second. Right, I'm just saying, the simple case. So, in this case, what do we do with the Nidon? We're going to have to release him. That I understand. But that's not what the Torah says. The Torah says we're going to release the Nidon. But what are we going to do with the Edom? Meaning the first pair of Edom.
Put him in the Nidon's place.
Exactly. Which might even mean that we put the first two pairs of Edom to death.
First pair
of Edom to death. Isn't that pretty wild? The bottom line is that what the Torah is saying is, believe
the second
pair of Edom and not the first pair.
Makes sense.
Now, Ralph, you may come up with some logic over here, but you have to admit to me,
no.
The question is stronger than any answer you'll ever come up with. So far, does this question go, then take a look at the first source on your page, which is the Rambam. Probably you know by now that I'm a big fan of the Rambam. You may have noticed that in the past. The Rambam says in the 18th chapter of Hilchos Edim, Zu Shehemina Torah, that which the Torah believed, Edus, the testimony, Ha'achronim, meaning of the last ones. Again, right now, Lawrence, the last ones means the second pair. You know, you're asking what happens if a third pair comes in. But is Gzeiras HaKosov. Now, I want you to know that the Rambam uses that phrase,
he doesn't have an explanation,
but sparingly, in other words, deliberately. But he's not, you know, it's not like Baruch Hashem, you have people who give out a lot of tzedakah, you know, they give out money. The Rambam doesn't give out Gzeiras HaKosov, you know, for every Tom, Dick and Harry and every minute. I can tell you of a few cases that I know of where the Rambam employs that phrase. One of them that immediately comes to mind is the case of Tkiyas Shofar on Rosh Hashanah. And we blow the shofar again. If you've been raised with this, so you may not pay attention and ask the question, why? Why does Almighty God need the shofar blowing? And not only that, the Rambam paskens has got to be the horn of an ayal, of a ram, as they call it in English. A ram's horn. Rambam says, Gzeir Sakos. And you have a few cases like this, but if you would do a word search for Gzeiras HaKosov in the Rambam, it will not come up too many times. Here the Rambam is forced to offer this formulation out of, I call it default, because the Rambam doesn't believe that anyone, any human being, could come up with an explanation that is rational for the fact that the Torah believes the second pair of witnesses over the first. So there are parts of the Torah which are called Gzeiras HaKosov. And that's part of the challenge of being a Jew, you know. We like to say that being a Jew is easy and it's a bowl of cherries, but there's another side to it. You know, let's be honest about it. You know, it's very challenging.
Is the concern one of believing the last set of witnesses over the first set? Or is the concern over what happens to the first set?
I think it's both.
In Rambam's case.
I think it's both.
I mean, if we think of our secular court system, we have laws against perjury, but nobody suggests that a perjured witness gets the same penalty as the person against whom he's testified.
Right.
That, as far as I know, is unique in the Torah.
Right. But not only that, Lawrence, if the so-called dead guy shows up alive and well, we're not going to put the two witnesses to death. The plot grows very thick over here.
In
halacha, I'm saying.
No, but
as you were quoting secular law, in secular law we don't take these witnesses that perjure themselves and give them the same punishment.
No.
That's true even in halacha to some extent. If Reuven and Shimon testify that this guy killed this guy, and then the so-called victim shows up on, you know, alive and well on 2 feet, we will not put the witnesses to death. So in that sense, what you quote in the secular world is also true, la'abdil, in the Torah world too. In one circumstance, we put the Edom to death.
You're not talking about the Edom Zamamin case.
Correct. But I'm just pointing out to you that if we speak in terms of perjury, it would not be accurate to say that according to the Torah law, Edom that perjure themselves get the same punishment, will mete out to them what they wanted to mete out to the Nidon. That's not true. I can give you a case which clearly is perjury. There's no issue, ifs, ands, or buts. It's open and shut perjury, and yet we will not punish the witnesses in that way. We'll see what punishment we'll give them. You know, we can't let them off scot-free,
but it's in your Category 1 area, not the Category 2 area.
And only in this case of Hazama, the magic formula, Imanu Ayisem, you couldn't have been at the corner of North Street at 9 a.m. because you were with us at South Street at 9 a.m. Only in that case does the Torah say to put the Edom to death. Says the Rambam, but why does the Torah believe the second pair of Edom? The first pair of Edom insist that they were at North Street to witness the crime and not at South Street. So you've got Trey. And again, I don't care so much about the numbers, but just for our purposes, let's say it's 2 against 2. Why do you believe the second pair, not the first pair? Says the Rambam, Gzeiras HaKosov. Rack your brains. You know, we say in Yiddish, Nem de kop und schlag de wand. You know, you're not going to come up with anything.
It is frustrating.
Correct.
The achofar that you make.
Correct. Correct. I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100%, but keep in mind that Paraduma could also be, I don't know, Dinei Nefashot, but close to it, because if, let's say, you know, a Tomei goes into the Beis HaMikdash, you know, and then we didn't have the Paraduma, so then he's Chayv Kares, I mean, so forth and so on. But here, I want to call your attention to the tour. And that should be the second source on your page. Now, just a word about the tour. The tour was the son of everybody? The Rosh. So a lot of what the Torah says, I don't know, in this case, he heard from his father. But that's not to detract from his greatness. Because the Torah is probably the first to ever codify the Shulchan Aruch the way we know the Shulchan Aruch. Again, there were codifications before the Torah, for example, the Rif and the Rambam. But the Shulchan Aruch as we know it, which divided up into four basic turim, and that's the word we get from the tour, was his innovation. And the older I get, the more I feel that the Torah is in a sense lost in the shuffle. What do I mean? I don't believe that the students of Torah Shebaal Peh give due focus to read the Torah carefully and meticulously. That's my own observation. I believe that the Torah should be given a lot more frontal, you know, focus than he classically is. So, for example, if you're learning Shulchan Aruch, you'll always quote the Torah. But if, let's say, you're learning a sugya in the Gemara, very rarely will you hear someone get up and say, well, I saw in the Torah, you know. But here's a case where I think we're all going to tip our hats to the Torah. Because whereas the Rambam threw in the towel on Adam Zomabim, and he classified it as Xeris HaKosuv, the Torah is going to take a stab at it. Now, just by introduction, I'm not saying that everyone here in this room is going to yell and scream, yay, yay, you know, the Torah is absolutely correct, and you know, he's convinced me. But I think what we'll have to tip our hats to the Torah is that the halacha has a logic of its own. It works with a set of premises and principles. We'll call it a certain mechanics. Maybe you want to call it the physics or the chemistry of halacha. And what the Torah is going to do is, whereas I think no one, maybe there's a hint in the Ramban to this, but really the Torah is the first one to take the parsha of Edom Zomimim, the fact that the Torah believes the second pair against the first, and put it within the logic of halacha. Again, that's not human logic, but at least to show that within the rules and the regulations that operate in the halakhic world, it makes absolutely sense. So again, are we talking about intuitive human logic? No, absolutely not. Don't even dream that that's what the Torah is going to convince you. So the next time you're, you know, I don't know if there are any lawyers here in the audience. Oh, yeah, Ralph, I think you're a lawyer. Next time you get up in front of a secular court, you're going to convince them that the Parsha Edom Zom makes absolute logical sense. I don't think so. Don't hope for that. But what the Torah is going to give us, he's going to show us within the halakhic framework, it makes absolute sense.
It makes sense given a certain set of principles.
Correct. But within the set of principles that the halakh operates with, the Torah says it makes sense.
The halakhic universe.
The halakhic universe, okay. He says the following. Now, I'm going to use this Torah as an introduction in general to what we've discussed, because he touches on a whole bunch of things that we've touched upon. He says, Shnei Edim Sheidu, this is the Torah in Hilchas Edu Simon Lamiches, Shnei Edim Sheidu bi Echad Shaharag Had Nefesh, two witnesses testified against someone that he killed someone else, alternatively, Shechayav Leploni Mana, or this person owes a mana, that's 100 zuz, a significant sum, to someone else. Ubo Shnayim Vikhishum. That's the verb for what noun? Hakosha. So now we're talking about Hakosha. We cannot possibly understand Hazama until first we define Hakosha. Hakosha is the universal principle. Hazama is the more specific principle. Says the Torah, Divrei Shneihem Bitalim. We have to throw both pairs of witnesses out. We have to invalidate them. We don't know whether to believe the first one or the second one. Vehu vehem pturim. And the witnesses and the nidon, they're all off the hook. No one will be punished in this case. Why? Because this is hakosha. Hakosha means we don't know who to believe. Zeizogin, yeah, and Zeizogin, the other Zogin name. You know, this guy says yes, and these guys say no. So what do? Avol, says the tour. Imbo achronim vehizimum. If the second pair of Edom came and they were mazim, where does he get that word mazim from? Kasher zoma, right? He's reformulating the scriptural term. Oz, in such a case, haachronim ne'amonim. Who do we believe? The second pair, katu. Now look at this. The Edus Arishona B'Tela,
Lawrence, this is what you were pointing out before, that the first pair of witnesses, the testimony of the first kat is completely null and void. Okay, that's not such a great chiddush. But the real chiddush, the heim chayovim, that first pair of witnesses will be punished, will be guilty. And what punishment do we mete out to them? Kifi mashahem, kifi mashasher ratzu lechayev oson shehiidu olaf. Just as they had intended to punish, to testify against that nidon, correct? For example, he says in Bol Lechayevo Misa, if their intention was that he should be condemned to death, neherogim b'misa, shebol arugobovim lechayevo mamon, if they came to testify that he owes money, is mishalme mamono. Then he says, Bein Shem, okay, this is already futuristic for us. In other words, the Torah is saying that we split the amount of money between the two Edim. Fine. Next. Umah. Here's where I want you to perk up. I skipped a few words. No great laws. Umah yesh bein akhosha lazoma. What is the difference between akhosha and azoma? And akhosha, we threw out both pairs of Edim, just as we did as we threw out the first pair in azoma. But in Akhosha, we didn't punish the Edim. In Azoma, we're punishing the Edim. Says the Tur, Hakhosha ain't a beguf ha-Edim. The Akhosha has nothing to do with the witnesses themselves. Elo, but rather, Shemakhishim also, they just contradict them. She'elom Ploni lova miploni. The first pair of Edim say that Reuven borrowed money from Shimon, V'elu, and the second pair of Edim Omrim, Yodim Anu Shalolava. We know that he did not borrow from Shimon. Ki Ayinu Etzel Kol Hayom, he was with us the whole day. V'ra'inu Shalolava. And we know that he didn't borrow. So here the Akash is in what?
The effect happened.
In the Gufa Shal Edus, not in the Gufa Shal Edim. That's Akash. V'hazoma? Beguf ha'edim. The Hazama is a testimony against the first pair of witnesses. Sha'omer bi'osa sha' shatem omrim sha'lova. At that hour in which you claim that you saw, you witnessed the loan, the transaction, ha'yisem imanu, you were with us. So who or what are they attacking? Right, not the Gufa Shal Edus. They don't know beans about the Edus. They can just tell you that you weren't there. You Edim couldn't have been there to testify. Now look at the next few words. Umipnei zeh? If you can underline those words. Umipnei zeh? And therefore, for this reason, hachrodim nemanim. We believe the second pair of Edim. Why? Kevan shemeidim al gufam shel Edim. Since they testify against the Edim themselves, they're saying you're full of hot air. You're liars. You're perjurers. You couldn't have possibly have seen such a testimony because you aren't even there. Again, it may have happened, but you aren't there to see it. Vehavi, these are the key words. Vehavi ki ilu heidu alehem. It's as if the second pair of Edim testified against the first pair of Edim. Shehargu anefesh. The two of you killed someone. O shechilu Shabbos, so you violated and desecrated the Shabbos. Would they, the first pair of Edim, be believed to turn around and defend themselves and claim and counterclaim, we did not kill anybody, we did not violate the Shabbos? Heim einom nemanim al atzmam. They would not be believed on themselves, lomar, to say, lo asinu kach v'kach, we did not commit this crime. Why not, Lawrence? Why wouldn't they be believed to say that we didn't commit the crime? You said it before, that's why I'm asking you.
Wow. They're involved.
If two witnesses claim against the first two witnesses, we saw you violate the Shabbos. Why can't the first two witnesses turn back and say, we did not violate the Shabbos?
Oh, well, then I'll give a davar.
Exactly, then I'll give a davar. So any testimony in which I'm trying to defend myself, once I'm the nidon, I don't have any right to do so. Anybody could testify against someone, but that someone cannot testify for on his own behalf against the accusation.
But there's nothing to say. And I mean, you indicated in your explanation, you said first set, second set. In fact, it says here first set, last set, as it uses the term achronim.
So why can't
right, achronim means the second set.
Well, achronim yeah. means the second set.
In this case.
Two sets.
Right, right. We're talking about two sets.
But in principle...
Yeah, you want to know what happens if there's
the
a third set.
The first set,
The
first set would be open to finding witnesses to say that the second set that claims that we were false because we were with you, you... couldn't know that because
good.
They were with you and yeah, they knew that
I agree with you.
There.
I agree with
and
you.
And therefore, the last
right.
set, because
right.
they're now three,
right.
the last set, which isn't the second set, might be valid as witnesses
right.
in this regard.
But Lawrence, my question to you is, in a case where there were two sets, let's go slow. Is there a logical reason, again the word logical is in inverted commas, you know, is there a logical reason why we believe the second and not the first? Meaning the second set of two and not the first set of two. There is a logic. Why? Because the nidon is no longer the original accused. He's out of the picture. We're not interested in him anymore. That's history. Who is the nidon now?
The first
pair of Adim. In effect, the second pair of Adim, says the Torah, is testifying against the first pair of Adim that you are murderers. You are Sabbath violators. You are eaters of pork and ham, whatever it might be. Does a person have a right to testify in defense of himself? That's called nogea b'edus. Either you're either a spectator, you know, testifying against the nidon who's on trial, or you're the nidon and you're on trial and you cannot testify. So the Torah claims the following: that within the logic of the halakhic universe, there is a justifiable fundamental distinction between akhosh and azama. In the case of akhosh, on the one hand, when the contradiction is begufa shel edus, then the entire discussion between the first pair and the second pair revolves around the nidon. So we don't know who to believe. Trey, we throw the whole case out. Kulam betalim, v'kulam peturim. But says the Torah, in the case of azama, once the mazimim, meaning the second pair of Adim, come in, we're talking about a case where there are only two pairs, then we drop the ball as far as the nidon is concerned. Forget about the nidon. What we're discussing now is one question only. Did you two guys perjure yourselves or not? Did you violate the age sheker, the losana v'ach age sheker violation? Well, the first pair of Adim say, wait a minute, we're telling the truth. Yeah, but the second pair of Adim say, you're not telling the truth. You weren't there to see the crime. You were in a different location. Therefore, you perjured yourselves. You're a bunch of scoundrels, low lives. You're no better than any nidon who's being accused of a criminal crime. Now, says the Torah, there's a very fundamental change, a shift in the nature of Hazama, in such an Hazama is now Begufam shall aid him, and since Sazom on the Gufa shall aid him, the Adim themselves become Nidonim, they're on trial, and therefore they could not be believed as witnesses, because now they're on trial, they're on the hot seat. Says the Torah, therefore we believe the second pair of Adim and not the first pair. What time is Mincha?
8:10
right here in this room.
Yeah.
So I don't want to,
No, I don't have to run.
Yeah.
Just in terms of the formulation of